Coming up on show 777, the Ford Mustang Mach-E is to get Tesla-like over-the-air updates. Stick around and I'll tell you more. Plus on the show today, we're talking about a new van from Citroën, the E-Jumpy. I think it's a strange name. Is going to be hitting markets soon. A new concept from WM Motor in China called the Maven, an electric motorcycle that will literally rip your face off, and the 1,000 Lucid Airs are ready to start testing. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening in the world, it's good to have you listening to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 13th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story online, so you don't have to. These are the stories that really matter today. I like to do this little curation service for you to save you time. Spend hours and hours just searching through the internet, trying to find the key stories so that you're up to date with what's happening in the EV world. It's an honour to do that job for you. We'll start with the Ford Mustang Mach-E. Over-the-air updates are not totally uncommon these days. Tesla tends to be the poster child for the function. Other car makers do it, but of course Tesla can push very large updates to the car when it's connected to your home Wi-Fi or any Wi-Fi connection, really. But a lot of Tesla owners get in the car in the morning and they find that their car overnight just got a little bit better, and in some cases, a lot better. Well, according to CNET, Ford won't be left behind. They've been detailing some near identical functions for the upcoming Mach-E. Yesterday, they said that over-the-air updates will be a big part of the experience of owning the Mach-E. And it's the Mustang Mach-E will have features that it didn't possess when it leaves the factory. It promised the updates will occur often, some of them without the owner noticing. Some of them will happen when you get in the car and start it up for the first time in the morning. Some of them will be larger updates that introduce whole new features and take a long time to download from your home internet connection. Of course, they're not the only ones to do it. We know that the VW ID range of cars aren't just a new name for VW. They've built a whole new platform upon which all of their group, not all, most of their group EVs will be based. And a platform isn't just the battery pack as the skateboard and the four wheels on each corner. For them, the platform means a whole new software architecture. From what I gather, I don't know this, I've never actually asked this exact question to anyone at VW. From what I gather, they have gone back to square one with their software and gone, okay, let's reinvent how we do this. So it is a whole new platform. And of course, VW will be doing over-the-air updates as well for any of the ID cars. It's good to see car makers doing this. We always thought this is one of the best things that Tesla had. It's one of the great things about your mobile phone. It can get better. It can react to things. A lot of times, I don't know about you, when you work with either beta things or cutting-edge things or even just sometimes regular software that should just work, you can tell that somebody somewhere in a meeting has gone, right, ship it. It's not right, but ship it. We'll fix it over time. And that's frustrating. I don't think that's going to happen with companies like Ford and VW. I'm not sure it happens with Tesla because, you know, you get it wrong in a car and it can kill people. So I think they get it right. But sometimes, you know, Tesla still call their self-driving functions in beta, as far as I know. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so sometimes with these kind of companies, software companies and things, I get it with my phones. Like these days I'm so deep into the Apple ecosystem that yes, iPads and iPhones, it would, you know, I could go to Android, but it's just rebuying all my apps and stuff. So I stick with it. So whenever I get a new phone and it always comes with a really big release, a really big new version of iOS for my Apple phone, I never get the first update they offer. I always wait a couple of weeks and then go that one, because it's just broken stuff for me in the past. All right, let's move on. Citroën has announced it's expecting to launch an all-electric version of their Jumper city van. But they're not calling it the Jumper, they're calling it the E-Jumpy. Okay, going to be launched by the end of the year. It should be followed by the fully electric Berlingo panel van in 2021. It says Electrive. I love this. I love seeing more working vehicles become EVs. I love the supercars. I love the Rimac and the Roadsters of the world, but I love to talk about cars that do tons of miles, because that cleans up the air quicker than a car that is driven to the corner shop and back. The fully electric jumper has a payload of, sorry, e-jumpy, has a payload of 1,275 kilograms and can be ordered with a trailer hitch and a towing capacity of up to a ton. Citroën is offering the van in three lengths, and the e-jumpy is offered with either a 50 or 75 kilowatt hour battery pack. The 50 kilowatt hour battery going 230 kilometres, the 75 going 330 kilometres on the European WLTP test cycle. WM Motor is one of those Chinese makers that is actually walking the walk and making cars rather than just talking about what they will be doing, mentioning no names. However, they do often talk about future products, and now a concept car from WM Motor, the Maven. No car company name that is more self-confident, says this article, than Weltmeister. I think I pronounce it Weltmeister or Weltmeister. I think it literally translates as world champion or master of the world, but I would call the company WM Motor. And the latest concept car they've released is called the Maven. Now, you have to remember that when Chinese car companies give the range, they are bound to do it by the Chinese guidelines, which, maybe I'm being unfair, I think double the real world range. If you want to have an argument with me on that, I'll listen to what you've got to say. But I think the NEDC standard of measuring it. So when they say the Maven will go 800 kilometres or 500 miles, I kind of half it. Maybe it's a bit more. But in my brain, I kind of think, look, all of the Chinese car makers, when they give these range figures, you think, it's never going to do 500 miles. Maybe I'm being unfair with half. But let me know your thoughts on that. It's also going to come with level 4 autonomy. And that's a hell of a promise. So good luck to the team there. It is not easy. From the comments section of Inside EVs, I noticed one person said this: having tested 4 Chinese EVs now, and I'm going to go test another one next week, there's real momentum going on. The Chinese car makers are quick learners and the quickest in the world to change, improving step by step in a quick pace. They're good at copying features from existing products, and they use that and then add engineering to improve and integrate the product better for the next generation. You see this trend in almost all medium to high tech products. That's interesting, isn't it? You do see these new Chinese names, the new kind of car makers that are cropping up. There's been many, many in China because of certain financial incentives to do so. That number's going to come down a little bit from the ones that couldn't actually get a car to market. But I think that's the way that the Chinese authorities went about the business. They created an environment for scores of companies to launch, wait to see which ones are successful, and kind of let the cream rise to the top. Moving on. Now, a motorbike that will literally rip your face off. Finland-based Verge, no, not the tech website, the company called Verge, detailed their new EV motorcycle. It's called the TS, and it's got a great design, jaw-dropping spec sheet as well, cheaper than a Harley-Davidson Livewire, and according to Autoblog, the motor generates 107 horsepower, but because the bike is so light, 737 pound-feet of torque. Yeah, more than a Bentley Mulsanne. 0 to 60 under 4 seconds. But if you can stay on the saddle, keep the front wheel down and stay on both wheels, you'll top out at 111 miles an hour. The battery pack says it will go 124 miles on the highway, 186 miles in the city. Charging will take about 4 hours with the onboard charger when you get home and plug it into your usual 3-pin socket. But holy moly, that is a lot of torque when you twist the throttle on this particular electric motorcycle. I would say that 4 hours it takes to charge at home is about the time that I would need to have a lie down after riding a bike as powerful as this. Well, the TS is priced at €25,000, about $27,000. And again, it's great to see EVs coming from all sorts, including bikes and boats and the cars and trucks we talk about as well. Well, Lucid Motors can't road test their fleet of prototypes of EVs. They've already built them in the Bay Area, but thanks to COVID, they're not allowed to do that. It posted a blog and a video on Monday that showed the Lucid Air vehicles that it plans to challenge the existing EV makers with, says Biz Journals. Some of the tests it did before the pandemic included winter testing in Minnesota, in some cold weather testing, doing shuttles between San Francisco and Los Angeles on just a single charge. And unlike Tesla, which makes its vehicles at Fremont and another in China. Lucid has no plans to make them in the Bay Area. They are building a massive factory in Arizona to handle that. Well, Lucid has more than 1,000 employees, headed up by the former Tesla chief engineer, Peter Rawlinson. They've got good people there. The company's principal investor is Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. So they've got a few bob. They're providing $1 billion of capital as of September 2018. Good luck to everyone at Lucid. The pictures they showed online on their blog post of all the cars lined up, ready to start testing, looks great. Good luck to everyone there. And I'm sure as soon as they're allowed to get out and start testing them, that program will continue at a pace. Well, the US administration announced a final approval on Monday for the largest solar energy project in the US and one of the biggest in the world. And despite objections from conservationists who say it will destroy thousands of acres of habitat critical to the survival of the threatened Mojave Desert tortoise in Nevada, says AP News. This is a $1 billion solar project. It's called the Gemini Project. It's got battery storage on it as well. It's about 30 miles north of Vegas. It's going to make about 700 megawatts of electricity. It's going to power about 260,000 households. That is a fair chunk of Vegas it's going to power. And annually, it's the equivalent of taking about 83,000 cars off the road. Well, in addition to the Mojave tortoise, the site is home to two types of rare plants, kit foxes, burrowing owls and wildflowers, says Laura Cunningham, a biologist at the Western Watersheds Project. And those approving this project did make note of the environmental impact, but said the benefits outweigh the negatives. It is, you know, life is not black and white, is it? I've noticed this over the last 24 hours with Tesla starting production. Fremont, despite the county saying they don't want them to start for one more week, and Tesla saying we're going to ignore that and go ahead and start production. We know what we're doing. We're going to keep the workers safe. We've done this in China. We've got this. We know this. Yet the local authority that they're in saying, look, we don't want you to do this. Just give it a week and talk to us about how you're going to keep your workers, your employees safe. I've noticed this online over the last 24 hours. There really is very little nuanced conversation, no sophisticated conversation happening around this issue. It's either Tesla and Elon are the worst, or Elon is a god and can do no wrong. And I find that really hard on Twitter, by the way, and it's one of the reasons I'm probably spending less time on there than I ever have done, because I really do keep my timeline full of positivity around this move to EVs, this clean, green transport revolution we've got going on. And so I love spending time in my Twitter. But more recently, I've seen more accounts cropping up. They tend to be the mega, mega fans of Elon that really don't have that ability to go, okay, well, look, this tweet of his wasn't worded very well, or actually saying that, you know, COVID will disappear in the US by the end of April. And over 80,000 people have lost their lives earlier than they should have done. Like, they've got no capability of saying, look, that wasn't a great tweet by him. And if you dare suggest that online, you get personally attacked by those. So those accounts have kind of led the aggression. And then, of course, those that hate Elon and hate Tesla, and there are plenty of those as well, and it confuses him. Why, if you don't like something, just leave it alone. It's a great American manufacturing success story. It didn't get bailed out. It got a loan and paid it back. If you don't like them, just ignore them. But of course, they come back and they attack as well. So it is interesting, isn't it? Like that situation, this one with a solar project. What do you do? Do you put in a massive project that takes the equivalent of 80,000 cars off the road? But what about the environmental side as well? Life isn't black and white. It's shades of grey. And surely we all need to have kind of grown-up conversations, but maybe that's a little bit too much to ask of Twitter. Okay, let's move on. And ABB, very big company, ABB, has agreed to supply Norway's largest food wholesaler, ASKO, or maybe ASKO, with its owner as well, to supply the charging infrastructure for their fleet of EVs, says the website Electrive. Well, ASKO says it uses 600 trucks a day, and it set itself the goal of achieving zero emissions, food delivery and transport by 2026. ABB's charging stations are being installed at distribution centres all around Norway to enable them to go into pure electric battery electric trucks. The first high-voltage chargers, they are 150 kilowatt chargers, by the way, for these trucks, in operation at their distribution centre in Oslo. And they will initially charge the Scania battery electric trucks they use. The vehicle is part of a fleet of 55 electric trucks ordered from Scania. They each has a payload of 10 tons and a range of up to 120 k's. And that's great news as well. Norway really is at the forefront of so many things, and good to see trucks going electric as well. And finally, when this is all over, and I firmly believe that we are merely pressing pause on normality, and we will get back to normal, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it'll be a new normal until, well, I think we'll just settle into a new normal, won't we, with the virus situation. Car dealerships are going to be a place that people will want to go to. Car dealerships will be a place that you want to go, and you have to go get a new car. It's time to get a new car, and you want a new car. But can you do that safely? It's one of the places where you have to come across another human being. Well, all car dealerships in this country will have to do an inspection, an online inspection, to prove that they've understood what is safe and how to reopen. They will face random spot checks in the future to ensure they're complying, says Car Dealer Magazine. The government said the new COVID-19 guidance rules will work alongside current health and safety rules rather than introduce new laws. It said businesses that want to reopen will carry out a risk assessment, and they'll use online tools and even get a certificate for customers to see it's safe. Key points will include social distancing. So maybe you won't get an employee of a car dealership barreling across the nice shiny reception that they have and greeting you warmly and shaking you by the hand. Maybe it'll just be a cheerful smile and a 2 metre, "Hello, how can I help you?" So that'll change. Maybe the workplaces will be redesigned. Maybe when you come to sign all the documents and you sit down at the little desk, maybe you'll just be sitting a little bit further away. Start times for employees could be staggered. One-way systems for workers to move around buildings and protect staff who may be vulnerable but want to come back to work. All these things taking into consideration. Right, question of the week time. It's a good question this week. I've got some really good responses so far. I'd like to see yours. So, what is your favourite charging app and route planner? And why? What's your favourite charging app? And maybe that app has a route planner in it as well. It doesn't matter where you listen around the world. I'd like to know from you and hear from you what you prefer to use on your phone or computer. Or even in the car, indeed. Let me know. Hello@evnewsdaily.com is my personal email, or you can leave a comment in the YouTube show. Well, thank you to 230 patrons of the podcast who fund the show. Find out what it's all about. Patreon is patreon.com/evnewsdaily. There are premium partners of the show I mention every day. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Bright Smith Group for clean tech talent, Porsche of The Village, Cincinnati, and Audi of Cincinnati East. If you can take a couple of minutes to leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, it really helps me out. Check out the other podcasts that I do with the gang from the EV Lounge Live. We do that on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. in the UK for about 45 minutes, talking about the big EV stories of the week and having a chat with you. It's a live YouTube show, so it's really interactive, and the comments are normally pretty full. And also, I join the team from Inside EVs every Friday at 9:30 Eastern. That is 2:30 in the UK, 3:30 European time. If you want to join the Inside EVs team, again, follow Inside EVs YouTube channel, and you can see me on there, part of the panel of four, talking about the big stories of the week every Friday. Okay, have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.